Hi, and welcome to Lakeshore Update. I'm Dee Dotson. On this edition of the podcast, you'll hear the latest on a mass COVID-19 vaccination site in Gary. Governor Eric Holcomb is ending the state's COVID-19 restrictions beginning April 6th. And Chris Nolte has a conversation with Idris Sanchez and Janae Baleza about the student success course for middle schoolers offered at Ivy Tech Lake County. All of that and more on this edition of Lakeshore Update. Hoosiers across Northwest Indiana and across Northern Indiana will soon have access to more COVID-19 vaccination opportunities. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports on new mobile clinics and an 8-week mass vaccination site.
The state is partnering with the Federal Emergency Management Agency to set up a mass vaccination site in Gary that will deliver 2,000 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine a day. It will run from April 7th through June 2nd. The Gary site will be a drive-through clinic, though it will serve Hoosiers who arrive via bus or by any other mode of transportation. The state's partnership with FEMA will also create mobile vaccination clinics that will operate throughout northern Indiana. They will target underserved communities. Registration for the mass vaccination site and the mobile clinics will open up later this week. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
The Gary Clinic will be at the former Roosevelt High School. The state says it chose that site because it's close to large numbers of high-risk Hoosiers and medically underserved populations. You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson. All Northwest Indiana Strack and Van Til stores will be partnering with Meals on Wheels now through April 11th in a roundup campaign to help support meal delivery. Strack and Van Til patrons will have the chance to round up their purchase in support of Meals on Wheels. A portion of the funds will also benefit V&A Meals on Wheels of Porter County, which serves the Valparaiso area as well. The need for Meals on Wheels has increased greatly as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. Every cent raised adds up to a bounty of fellowship for our senior neighbors as $5 helps deliver a nutritious meal. To register for meals, volunteer, or donate, visit www.mownwi.org.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Governor Eric Holcomb is ending the state's COVID-19 restrictions beginning April 6th. That means beginning the day after the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Championship is played in Indiana, the state will no longer limit gatherings or require mask wearing. Instead, Holcomb says Indiana will have a mask advisory, though masks will still be required in state government buildings, COVID-19 testing and vaccination sites, and K-12 schools.
When I visit my favorite restaurants or conduct a public event, I will continue to appropriately wear a mask. It's the right thing to do.
Holcomb says local governments and private businesses can still impose restrictions.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we continue to do these few things, the light at the end of the tunnel becomes brighter and brighter.
The state's public health emergency declaration will remain in place through April. Holcomb says that will allow the state to pivot if cases take a turn for the worse. It also ensures Indiana still has access to federal relief.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Local health officials could no longer impose restrictions that go further than the state's during a public health emergency under legislation approved by a House committee Wednesday. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports on the latest in the General Assembly's reactions to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Right now, a local health officer can, for instance, impose a mask mandate in their county even after the governor repeals the statewide mandate. But Republican Senator Chris Garten's legislation says the local legislative body, county commissioners or a city council, would have to approve any health action that goes further than the state's orders. Democratic Representative Matt Pearce worries the bill will politicize local health decisions.
Instead of a process really focusing on what do we have to do to keep a health emergency from getting worse.
The bill now heads to the full House. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Neither the governor nor local officials could ever restrict worship services during a public emergency under a bill approved by a House panel Wednesday. Republican Senator Edward Cook's legislation separates out religious organizations and their worship services when it comes to public emergency orders. If, for instance, a church operates a food pantry or a daycare, government officials could impose restrictions on those activities, just not any more restrictive than other essential services. But Cook says the bill goes further when it comes to worship.
Essentially says that may not be regulated by government. I think that's consistent with our state's constitution.
Governor Eric Holcomb required churches to stop in-person worship services under his stay-at-home order in the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic. Democratic Representative Matt Pearce worries about the consequences of Cook's bill.
You either have super spreader events or just propagation of the disease through these religious organizations because they're allowed to operate when many other organizations might not be able to.
The bill is headed to the full House.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Indiana is one of dozens of testing sites for the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine. Despite some complications with the vaccine overseas, an IU School of Medicine doctor believes the vaccine should get emergency approval. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Adam Pinsker reports.
532 Hoosiers participated in the AstraZeneca study out of more than 32,000 people worldwide. Although Canada and Germany paused their use of the vaccine because some people experienced blood clotting, IU School of Medicine Dr. Cynthia Brown says there was no evidence of clotting during clinical trials in the United States and believes the vaccine is safe.
I think if you do not have a history of a clotting disorder in the past, I would not have a hesitancy to take it myself.
Dr. Brown says even though the Indiana trial was capped at 532 people, more than 3,000 Hoosiers applied to participate. However, she admits the study failed to recruit enough African Americans to participate, adding that the IU School of Medicine wants to strengthen the trust between the medical and African American communities. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Adam Pinsker.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
The Senate approved a bill Monday that allows the General Assembly to call itself into special session during a statewide public emergency. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports on the potentially unconstitutional legislation.
The bill is a reaction to the COVID-19 pandemic and many lawmakers' frustration with some of Governor Eric Holcomb's executive orders. Republican Senator Sue Glick, the bill's sponsor, says it allows lawmakers to call themselves back into session in an emergency.
Allowing members of the Indiana General Assembly to have meaningful involvement in the decision-making by state officials during any state of emergency.
But legal experts say the measure is likely unconstitutional. The Indiana Constitution only says the governor can call a special session. The bill also gives lawmakers a little more oversight when it comes to spending federal economic stimulus dollars that come to Indiana. Despite 10 no votes, there was no debate over the bill on the Senate floor. It now heads back to the House. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Governor Eric Holcomb and the legislature appear headed for a court battle over a bill that would allow lawmakers to call themselves into special session. Legislative leaders reacted Thursday to the governor's threat to veto that measure. Many lawmakers felt sidelined during the pandemic, watching the governor make so many decisions without, they say, legislative input. Senate President Pro Tem Roderick Brace says to change that, legislators landed on a bill that allows them, and not just the governor, to call a special session.
The legislature should have a larger role in this process. And so I think that's very important. Our caucus thinks so, and I think most Hoosiers feel the same.
But the governor says the Indiana Constitution gives him exclusive power to call a special session. House Speaker Todd Houston says he and Bray simply don't agree with the governor.
I want to be clear, we have a great working relationship, the administration and the two bodies. It's just a disagreement. We'll let the courts decide. We'll have an answer moving forward.
The General Assembly, after passing the bill, will likely override the governor's veto, which it can do by simply majority votes in both chambers.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Environmental groups and some lawmakers worry a state house bill could pressure regulators to approve pollution permits they would otherwise deny. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Rebecca Thiel reports, the Hoosier Environmental Council says an amendment has dramatically improved the bill, but it could still have unintended consequences.
Under the original bill, several Indiana agencies would have to pay the attorney's fees of a party that wins a lawsuit against the state. But an amendment made it so that would only be the case if an agency acts frivolously or in bad faith. HEC senior staff attorney Kim Ferraro says this new language is a lot better, but it could still pose a threat to cash-strapped agencies like the Indiana Department of Environmental Management.
If you don't issue this permit on our terms, we're going to appeal, and you could be on the hook for our hundreds of thousands of dollars in attorney's fees.
A trade group of gas station owners and a company that cleans up leaking gas tanks express support for the bill. They say they've lost a lot of money in cases where IDEM hasn't reimbursed them for cleanups, even when they've won. IDEM has said that some companies are taking advantage of a state fund that pays for cleanups, and it's in danger of running out of money. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Rebecca Thiel.
The bill now moves on to the full Senate for consideration.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Here's regionally speaking host Chris Nolte with a conversation with Edith Sanchez and Janae Beleza.
In an effort to try to help parents get their youngsters and themselves ready for higher education, one of Ivy Tech Community College's local campuses is partnering with a Gary Charter School to teach a class for parents, introducing them to the benefits of a college education. Let's find out more about the course that's underway right now. We have with us from the Ivy Tech Lake County campus the Director of Student Life, Edith Sanchez, and Janae Beleza, who we know, of course, with her work with the Indiana Parenting Institute, but she is also a member of the Ivy Tech Lake County Board of Trustees, and they're both with us to talk about the program. Ladies, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thank you.
If you will, and maybe, Edith, I'll let you take the first question. If you explain to us the importance of parents being involved in knowing what their youngsters may want to look for as far as higher education is concerned.
Well, I think it's very important for parents to support their children on whatever it is they might choose to as a career and in their future. And sometimes students are kind of undecided, and they kind of need that parent to support them into putting them down the right path, and maybe just taking their general studies, and meanwhile they figure it out.
Now, Janae, you, I know, as a member of the Board of Trustees for the local Ivy Tech campuses, are very concerned that the young people that are going through in this particular case, the charter school education, because we're talking about the Charter School of the Dunes and getting involved with Ivy Tech Lake County. What's the key that the charter school students should know as they're getting ready for their education to look beyond even high school?
Well, let me just say one of the reasons that we kind of came up with the idea of using the Ivy Tech Student Success course as an outreach tool is just because a lot of times we're pressing for families to encourage higher education and really haven't thought about the fact that a lot of first-time generation students, their parents don't even have a point of reference by which to encourage that except to just go to college. And so we thought maybe allowing them to have an experience with it gives them more of a point of reference with which to recommend and encourage their students in that direction. And so that's where it came from. And because there's a push statewide to get adults back in, not just, you know, if you need a degree, but just to consider changing your skill base or augmenting your skill base so that you can continue to be relevant in the job market, that that's something to bring to their attention and have them consider as well. So it's got a lot of valuable points to it that will help both parent and child see the benefits of higher education beyond just that 2 to 4 years in college, that you can always go back and acquire more skills and greater knowledge and thus be worth more in the labor market.
I see. Edie, if you will, tell us about how the partnership developed between Ivy Tech Lake County and the Charter School of the Dunes to get this particular program going.
Well, I think it was Janae, and Janae, if you could jump in as well, because you know more about that. Janae's the one that came to the chancellor with this idea, and the chancellor thought it was great, and she's the one that has the contact with the Dunes Charter School and kind of put all this together, and she can explain more. She's the main person and all that created this and is the mastermind behind this project.
Okay, Janae.
Oh, come on.
I love the way she says that.
I'll let you answer the question. Go right ahead.
I would love to answer the question. It's just the mastermind part was kind of funny. But anyway, but I appreciate the compliment. Cheryl, who is the parent liaison over at Charter School of Dunes, came to Indiana Parenting Institute wanting to figure out how to improve parent engagement, which is a problem throughout the school districts in several of the Northwest Indiana communities. And so I had just been at a cabinet meeting, and as she was talking about what it was that she was looking for with her parents, I thought about a conversation I had had with Sue Elsterman about their student success course, and I said, you know what, I wonder if we could utilize this in that capacity. So I kind of came up, based upon what Cheryl had shared with me, about what that could look like, based upon seeing what the classes were that they taught in their regular first-generation student success course. And I presented that to Chancellor Louie, and he thought it was something that we could work.
That's
how it was born. And I don't see it so much as an education experience, but more so as an enlightening experience, and for the parents, and an outreach opportunity for Ivy Tech. So because I think that allowing people to kind of try before you buy is a really good way to get them connected to it and go, oh, this is what this is about. So, and that's why, and that was a benefit that I presented to the college while saying to the parents that, you know, you walk away from this experience with a college credit, you know, and so there's a lot of folks who probably never thought that they would even get into college, and to even have that opportunity is something that we hope whets their appetite for more.
That's great. Will you go into more detail, tell us more about this 8-week student success course for parents of the middle schoolers? How does it get broken down? And since we're, as we speak right now, kind of in the halfway point or pretty close to it, how has it gone so far?
Well, actually, we just started it, and I'm going to do a soft handoff to Edith for this point, because she's getting ready to teach some classes. But we launched last week, and it's going to be a mixture of skills to help them with their parenting, especially parenting a student as they work their way through secondary into post-secondary. These are middle schoolers, but still, preparation should really be starting at that point. And then the other side is acquainting them with what university life is like. So Edith is our person who's going to be showing them what an Ivy Tech student studies, kind of what they go through, so that they have that experience as well. So I'll let her kind of give you an idea of what she's going to be teaching in this week.
Okay, go ahead, Edith.
Yes. So Ivy Tech, we're on the 8-week course model. So our beginning of our 8-week, like Janae said, was just last week. So that was our launch. So they're going to do 8 weeks of our modules, and they are meeting Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6 to 7, mixed with virtual and in person. But our first week was getting most of out of your education. This week, I'll be touching skills are our money. We'll be talking about time management and digital literacy, to name just a few topics. We're going to have a module with We Are Family, Chaos Be Gone, Handling Distractions, Workforce Ready, Navigating and Leveraging Resources, and finally, you have arrived and kind of summarizing our whole eight-week module with them.
How are you all getting the courses taught? Obviously, it's probably a combination of virtual as well as in-person, and where are they being done?
We're doing them virtual, community partners and teachers within the Ivy Tech system to help teach these different topics around parenting a student and being a student. So basically what happens is, do you want to describe the dashboard to them, Ivy Learn, so that they can understand how the parents are going to be utilizing that?
Yes, we have a shell on our Canvas system that they access, and we have Zoom links for our virtual classes and all their modules and assignments, and discussion boards are all just like any one of our regular college classes are in them, and they have access to that portal, and they'll be doing all our virtual online classes via Zoom with, as Janae said, guest instructors from the community as well as from the college. And then our first initial one was at the Dunes Charter School, and then our graduation at the end will also be in person.
That's great. I understand that when things wrap up with the final session on May 13th, that you have a very special day, I guess, for the parents as well as for the students that are going to benefit from this.
Yeah, we really wanted to, like we said, the purpose of this is really to give parents, especially those who are the parents of first-generation students, to have an opportunity to have this this college experience.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, with that happening, we want to celebrate their accomplishment and share it with their kids. So what'll happen is in that final session, they're going to have that session on site at the East Chicago campus and get an opportunity to actually see some classes going on. Like we're hoping that we can have a welding class, the welding teacher and a student there, so they can see what life is like in that kind of experiential environment at Ivy Tech, and then to just understand what their opportunities are in terms of degrees and careers that they can go after. So it's that nice kind of your parents graduating, be there to celebrate, but also let's really get a hands-on experience of where we could end up.
Now, I know it may be a little early to think about this, but I'm sure it's probably in the backs of both of your minds. Do you think this may be a course that may be continued beyond just this very first session?
That is the goal. I mean, our hope is that we have found something that parents will enjoy, that there's several benefits from it, and that it will not only help them to better guide their student toward higher education, but that it will also guide them towards seeing how they can utilize higher education to improve their livelihood as well.
Now, what kind of reaction have you gotten so far, even though it's very early in the course, since it only began a little while ago and you have at least a month and a half to go? What kind of reaction, at least at the outset, have you gotten?
Well, I was at the first one because we wanted all of the partners to be there to introduce ourselves to the parents since it was in person. And they just seemed very excited about the opportunity and eager and interested to see what was going to result from this experience because it was something new for them. Edith was at the second session because it meets Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6 to 7 or 5 to 6? I think it's 6 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so Edith was there for the second session because she was helping them to navigate the dashboard. And so she can tell you what she gathered from that experience.
Yeah. What's your assessment of that one session, the very first one that you attended?
The parents seemed excited. It was great to see how engaged they were in and their students, academic lives. And I love the idea of them taking this class to be more of a part of their students' lives and their future academic life. And
hopefully they'll see that as an opportunity as well for themselves to enroll in college in the future. And they were just as excited in the second session, very asking a lot of questions, very interested in the material that was presented. So overall, I think it's been so far a great experience for the parents, and they seem eager for the classes coming up this week.
Well, it is Sanchez, who is the director of student life with the Ivy Tech Lake County campus here in Lake County, and Janae Beleza, who is a member of the Ivy Tech Lake County Board of Trustees, are both with us talking about the establishment of an introductory course for parents of middle schoolers who are attending the Charter School of the Dunes in Gary. And they get a chance to learn about the opportunities of what a college education will bring, so they in turn can certainly direct their students, their children, along towards that path in the future. And ladies, thank you very much for being with us to talk about it. And the best of luck as the session continues until it comes up to its end in May. Then thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Regionally Speaking with host Chris Nolte can be heard each Monday through Thursday at noon on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM and streaming online at lakeshorepublicradio.org, where you can also find podcasts of the show when you click on the program link. For the latest in local news and information, tune in Monday at 6 a.m. for Morning Edition with local hosts Chris Nolte. Lakeshore Update is supported by the listeners and members of Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Podcasts for Lakeshore Update are posted each Friday on our website, lakeshorepublicradio.org, as well as on NPR One. Make sure you search for WLPR and select us as your home station. Music for Lakeshore Update was written and produced by bensound.com. For Lakeshore Update, I'm Dee Dotson.